Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Numbers chapter 14, verse 42, the first part of the verse says this: "Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you." In this passage, the spies have returned from Canaan, and 10 out of 12 of them talked the people out of following the Lord into Canaan. And after the people refused to go, the Lord pronounced that all of the men over 20 years old would die within the next 40 years while the Jews wandered around in the wilderness. Then the 10 rebellious spies died by the plague. And when the people heard the Lord's pronouncement and saw the death of the spies, they were determined to go into Canaan and fight for the land. That's when Moses said, "Go not up, for the Lord is not among you." And the rest of the verse says, "That ye be not smitten before your enemies." How many times have you found yourself leading your family or leading others into something only to find out that the Lord was not among you? I believe that more often than not, the Lord is not among you in your endeavors. And we're going to look at Numbers chapter 13, look at Numbers chapter 14, and see the circumstances that led up to these Jews attempting to go into the land of Canaan, now contrary to the Lord's will, and more importantly, when the Lord wasn't among them. How'd that happen? Well, the Lord is not among you when, number one, you disobey the clear direction of the Lord. The Lord is not among you when you disobey the clear direction of the Lord. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." Now notice what he said. "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan," watch it, "which I give unto the children of Israel." Now the Lord told them that he was giving them the land of Canaan. So they were to reconnoiter in Canaan to know how to go in and take the land. When they came out and refused to attack, they were disobeying God's will. Because God said, "Go in there, spy out the land, then I give you." And they wouldn't do it. You see, there are times in your life where the Lord gives you unmistakable direction. I can't show you or tell you in your case how the Lord made it plain to you that he wanted you to do something. But I've heard a number of men later in life say, "Well, I know the Lord called me to preach and I didn't answer the call." Or the Lord gave us specific direction to go to such and such a place and we didn't go. Or to be involved in such and such a ministry and we didn't get involved. Or to be in such and such a church and we didn't go. Or whatever the case may be. Somehow or another, the Lord, though, made it plain through the peace of God that passeth all understanding, through a number of other methods that we'll probably look at here today in this passage, through the Word of God, through the Word of God and prayer, that there was something you were supposed to do in your life and didn't do it. And I'm going to tell you, when you disobey the clear direction of the Lord in your life and then proceed in that disobedience, the Lord's not among you. Saul was selected by God to be the king of Israel. But you know, the Spirit of God left him, and he turned his attention toward David and attempted on numerous occasions to have David killed, or to kill David, so that Jonathan, his son, could have the throne after his own death. You know what? He disobeyed the clear direction of the Lord. And when he did, God left him. God was not among him in his kingdom. Just, that's the way. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of Christians today, and you may be one of them, that are living in disobedience to the clear direction of the Lord right now, and the Lord's not among you. No matter how hard you try to enter God into the conversation or into the picture, he's just not there. And he's not going to be, because you're living in disobedience to his clear direction. I'll tell you, that's honestly true when it comes down to things like churches. I've seen people that have come here, and they're here a little while, and they say, you know what, we really believe the Lord would have us here, but we're going to go back where we came from because our friends are there. In other words, it was more about their social involvement in a community called church than it was about being in a place where the Lord would bless them spiritually in their spiritual walk with God. All right, number two, the Lord is not among you, not only when you disobey the clear direction of the Lord, but the Lord is not among you when you walk by sight and not by faith. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. All right, so they've gone in, they've spied out the land, they come out, and they told him, that is Moses, and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they showed the pomegranates, and they showed the grapes. Nevertheless, verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those are the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now they report what they've seen. And when they report, it's one of these things. We saw the land that flows with milk and honey. Nevertheless, and so they're raising up an opposition now because of the size of the people and because of the walled cities in which they live. Now the Lord had proved to Israel long before they got into the wilderness, over and over again, with his plagues, with his deliverance from Egypt, with his miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, with his destruction of Pharaoh and so forth, that if he wanted them in the land, he was going to get them there regardless of how big the inhabitants were. But you know what? After they saw the inhabitants and after they saw the walled cities, they did not believe him. In other words, what they saw in the land of Canaan diminished their faith in God. Well, it's no wonder that he sent the spies in there, because if he had sent in all 600,000 of the men to go into that land and they had seen, these giants had turned away. What a fiasco that would have been. It was terrible as it was. But you see, there are times when God's going to lead you by faith into something you just do not have a clue how God is going to work out the details. But what you see is one obstacle after another that proves that God can't do what he's been leading you to do. And so you back out. When you walk by sight, when you back out of what you know God wants you to do, because what you see looks more impossible than what God can do, the Lord's not among you. He is over there where the faith is, trying to make the thing happen that he wants you to do, and you have refused because it doesn't look like it's going to work. And so you stop and live by faith. And when you walk by faith, the Lord is not among you. Because God walks where there's faith, not where there's sight. We walk in the Spirit, and that's how we keep from fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you see. So if you're into something right now, and you say, well, it all looks like the right place for me, I've gauged all this, and it looks like the right thing for me, then I'm going to tell you what, you're in the wrong spot. It's the wrong place, okay? The Lord's not among you. All right, number three, the Lord is not among you when you reject the wise counsel of godly men. The Lord is not among you when you reject the wise counsel of godly men. Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 30. After the nevertheless report by the 10 spies, Caleb stilled the people in verse 30 before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." So Caleb had given godly counsel, and the wise godly counsel was, we need to go up. Why? We are well able to possess it. Why? Because the Lord's on our side. You see, there was a different spirit in Caleb than in the other spies. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither into he went, and his seed shall possess it." Now Caleb was a man with another spirit, and Caleb was a man that followed the Lord fully. Well, now, when Caleb, a man who has that spirit in him, the Spirit of God, and when Caleb, who follows the Lord fully, gives counsel, you know what? You want to listen to what he has to say. Why? Because that's the wise counsel of a godly man. He was a godly man, and his counsel was far greater than the majority of the spies that had gone into the land. So when the people refused to heed Caleb's counsel, they refused to follow the Lord, and the Lord wasn't among them. Many times people say to me, "Well, how do I know if this is God's will for my life?" Of course, there are many ways to know. You read the Scripture. You pray. You patiently wait on the leadership of the Lord. There is a peace of God that passeth all understanding that stills over your heart and your mind. I was talking to a fellow just yesterday who was discussing with me a kind of an idea that he has for his plan now that is for his family, for his, that his family is growing. And he said, you know, he said, a year ago I would have been reluctant to make these decisions, the ones he was talking to me about, but he said, now there's a peace, there's a settling, there's a calm that has come over me in this decision, and it's very unusual. And what he was describing is that peace of God that passeth all understanding that settles your heart when you're following the leadership of God. Now, another way that you know of the Lord's will is seeking wise counsel of godly men. Men that have a track record of living for the Lord, doing God's will, of rendering wise counsel, okay? And when you go to somebody like that and you say, "Well, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What do you think?" And the man prayerfully considers his answer and then gives it to you, and you just walk away from that. Many times you're not following the Lord, and when you don't follow the Lord's not among you. Take Rehoboam, for instance, and we realize that this was a direction that God was leading because of the division of the country after what Solomon did, but in Rehoboam, Solomon's son, in his reign, some men came to him in Israel, and they were laying out a course of action whereby they would follow Rehoboam in his reign. And Rehoboam sought counsel of the old men who gave him godly counsel. But you know what he did? The Bible says he rejected their counsel, and then he sought the counsel of the young men and followed the young men. And because he had rejected the counsel of the old men, then he lost the 10 northern tribes. As you know, that was God's plan anyway, but isn't it odd that he came to the conclusion by rejecting the counsel of the old men? I'm just saying, when you reject wise counsel of godly men, don't be surprised when you look up and find out the Lord is not among you. So often what will happen when I find people that are walking outside of a place where God is, they may have called, but they're not asking, they're telling. They're looking for confirmation on a bad decision. And God's not in it. The Lord is not among you when you disobey the clear direction of the Lord, when you walk by sight and not by faith, when you reject the wise counsel of godly men. And I'll tell you something else. The Lord is not among you when you follow the counsel of ungodly men. Okay, it's one thing to reject the wise counsel of godly men. It's another thing to follow the counsel of ungodly men. Numbers chapter 13, look at verses 32 and 33. "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were, and so were we in their sight. Now these men, these 10 spies that had brought up an evil report on the land, you know, exacerbated the claim. These are men of great stature. They eat up the inhabitants thereof. We're in their sight as grasshoppers. You know, they're exaggerating, not just exacerbating the problem. They're exaggerating what they saw, the reasons not to go in. And the people followed them. Now, these 10 spies brought up an evil report of the land, and they were determined to defeat the counsel of Joshua and Caleb. And they succeeded in convincing the people against the Lord and against Joshua and Caleb and against Moses and Aaron. Now listen, when you are seeking the Lord's will and you follow the counsel of ungodly men, the Lord's not going to be with you. He's not going to be among you when you make that decision. Now, I realize there are times when perhaps you need an attorney, or there is times when you need advice on a real estate transaction, or there's times when you need advice on a banking decision, and the person you're talking to is not a saved person, perhaps not a saved real estate broker or a saved title lawyer or a saved banker or a saved lawyer in a particular transaction, but they know their business explicitly well. Now, in that case, you're not following the counsel of an ungodly man to the exclusion of the clear direction of the Lord, faith, and the wise counsel of godly men. Where you get into trouble is if you have received counsel of godly men, and then somebody who is an ungodly man gives you counsel that is contrary to those three things, faith and the clear direction of the Lord and the counsel of godly men, then you find yourself where the Lord's not among you. Psalm 1 discusses this very, very clearly when you're looking for counsel and all you do is go to the ungodly and take their counsel, you're going to find yourself in situations where the Lord's not among you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, you see. And so when you follow the counsel of ungodly men, particularly contrary to the counsel of godly men, you are going to find yourself in a situation where you're out there on your limb all by yourself. The Lord's not out there with you, and you're sitting here praying, how come God won't bless this business decision? How come God won't bless this medical decision? How come God won't bless this financial decision? How come God won't bless this educational decision? You know why? God's not in it. I look back in my life, and there were times when we made decisions, like the times when our children went off to college. And I think back now that we really didn't seek clear direction of the Lord in some of these things. There wasn't some faith involved in those things, or wise counsel of godly men before they went off. And they were exposed to some things that changed their direction in life, okay? And you know what the problem was? Counsel of the ungodly men. In other words, I've got personal firsthand experience with this too. And then you look back there and you say, well, the Lord's not in that decision. The Lord's not among you. And so you're going to ask him to bless the mess, and he's not there. And he's not going to bless it, and it doesn't get fixed. And you think, wow, how did that happen? You followed the counsel of ungodly men. I'll tell you another time when the Lord is not among you, and that's when you move contrary to the spiritual authorities in your life. When you move contrary to the spiritual authorities in your life. Numbers chapter 14. Verses 1 and 2, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured. Against whom did they murmur? Against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Now what's going on there? They are now moving contrary to the spiritual authorities in their lives. Moses and Aaron were being used by God to provide their spiritual direction. So when they decided to turn away from Canaan, they murmured against Moses and Aaron, and they wouldn't follow them. Now you've got to remember something. Moses and Aaron were the men who interceded for them every time they got in trouble with God. And they got in trouble with God on this occasion. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 to 21, the Lord's ready to kill them, and Moses has to intercede. The Lord agrees to hold off, but still the men over 20 are all going to die in the wilderness. Now God has given you some spiritual authorities in your life. That's right. For one thing, on a very practical matter, he has given you the rule of law. That is, in the country in which you and I live, the Lord has given you the rule of law. You have officials. And there are a lot of Christians who say, we are going to live contrary to those things. And Romans chapter 13 says that's not a good thing for you to do. That's on a practical matter. On a spiritual matter, God's given you a pastor. Hopefully you have a good enough relationship with your pastor that you can seek leadership from him and godly counsel from him and decisions that you're trying to make in your life. When he gives you direction through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, I mean, listen, if he's really a spiritual pastor, if he's not a man that's building his own work contrary to God's will, if he's a man truly called by God to be in the ministry, if he's really preaching from the Bible, preaching from the Word of God, not some charlatan, and there are many of them today, if he's really a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastor, he becomes in your church a spiritual authority in your life. And the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is not his message to the people. It's what God is leading him to preach to the folks in the church, and God uses that preaching and teaching to direct lives in a very supernatural way. And let me tell you something, when you stay out of church and don't avail yourself of that spiritual authority through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God in your life, you are cutting off one of the greatest sources of spiritual direction, one way that the Lord really moves. I'm telling you, many times we've had men that have come here as visiting preachers, missionaries, even our own men stand and preach. And man, I'm telling you what, God blesses that preaching, and God speaks to me out of the Scripture through their preaching. It is a gift to the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it's a gift to the church, and I'm telling you, God uses it to provide direction in our lives. And when you move contrary to that spiritual authority in your life, you are going to be in a place where God is not. I know a man that could have doubled his salary by moving 3 hours from his home church, and his pastor went over there and couldn't find a good church for him, and he didn't take the job, and he could have used the money. And the reason he didn't take the job is he knew that God was not going to be there. And he did not want to move contrary to the spiritual authority in his life, how God was blessing him and his family through the preaching of the Word of God in the pulpit of the pastor of his church. Now, I'll tell you, there are a lot of Christians that do not consider what I'm telling you when they're making decisions at all. Their spiritual authority is themselves. And they just haphazardly go from here to there, read this book, and go to the internet, read that site, and go to their social media and read the comments of their friends, and then bounce all over the place and wonder why God's not blessing it. That's why you're lacking a very necessary spiritual authority in your life. Listen, I'll tell you what, in families, parents are spiritual authorities. In families, husbands, the leader of the house, spiritual authority. And when people work contrary, like children rebel or wives are not submissive, when a man is really, really there in the position. I mean, I realize the personality of your husband may not be such that you want to follow him, but the position is one of authority. You know, God blesses that when you are subject to it, trusting the Lord to lead through your husband, even as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, when he's not in subjection to the Word of God. And when people violate and move contrary to the spiritual authorities, guess what? God's not in it. The Lord will not be among you. And then finally this, the Lord is not among you when you determine to do God's will your own way. In Numbers chapter 14 and verses 40 and through 45, you know what happened after God pronounced that the people over 20 years old would die in the wilderness, and after God killed the 10 spies that had raised up an evil report on the land? The people rose up early in verse 40 of Numbers chapter 14 in the morning, got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? It shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord shall not be among you, or is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. Well, they went up, and the Amalekites and the Canaanites got after them, and guess what? They smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. They blew it. The Jews, after they'd seen the consequences of their sin, were determined to go do what God said, but the Lord wasn't among them. And so they were smitten before their enemies. They refused to do God's will, listen, God's way. And so it wouldn't work. God's will in your life must be done according to God's timing and must be done God's way. And if you jump the gun on his timing or you jump the gun on his way and determine that you're going to go do his will your way, ain't going to work. God won't be there. And you'll fall flat on your face, and then you'll be up screaming and hollering, well, I thought God wanted me to do this, and how come now it's all falling flat on your face? The reason is there were other things that you were involved in where God wasn't there, and then you presumed to do all this on your own. You know what the Lord said to his disciples? Without me, you can do nothing. And I believe that verse. I do, with all my heart. And I'm telling you what, my determination is to do God's will, God's way, according to God's timing. Because it isn't going to work any other way. So how do we wrap this up? Let me just say this. The Lord is not among you. When you do like these spies and the children of Israel did after that search of the land of Canaan. So if you disobey the clear direction of God in your life, if you walk by sight and not by faith, if you reject the wise counsel of godly men, if you follow the counsel of ungodly men, if you move contrary to the spiritual authorities in your life or don't have any to begin with, if you determine to do God's will your way, then you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that the Lord is not among you, and you will fail in time, maybe not immediately. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about some churches that are built now on business principles instead of spiritual principles, and you don't see the crack in the foundation, but it's there. And in time, what's going to happen is that foundation is going to crack, and that whole ministry is going to come down. Could be 10, 15 years from now before you see it. But you know that it's not going to work because the Lord's not in it for the reasons we just gave. Same is true in your life. In your life, if these principles are not upheld, the Lord's not among you, and if he's not among you, it cannot work. So carefully examine your life and make sure that these things are so. If you find that they're not, change them.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.